Hey guys, welcome to the episode of FPL Copy Talks. I hope you have not missed me too much. I'm Anwar, the FPL casual.
I'm ABK, the loyalist to the team that just qualified for the quarterfinals of the Champions League.
And I'm Lukman, just the sensible one. How's it going, boys?
Good. How's your fasting been, guys?
Good.
Ramadan Kareem. All my Muslim listeners out there.
How many days have you fasted already?
Today is our third day.
Today is our third. If we're recording in the morning, so we are actually.
Timestamp. Bournemouth just beat Luton in a crazy game, 4-3. The game just ended. Yeah. So, timestamp. So today is our third day of fasting. How about you in Barcelona? How's it?
It's actually, I started on Monday, actually. You guys started on Tuesday, I started on Monday.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. And it's a bit weird because the Muslim Association in Spain announced that the first of Ramadan is Tuesday.
Then?
Yeah.
But then, they still said that let's start on Monday. Because that's what they planned earlier and that's what all the neighboring countries are doing. So we just follow.
Play safe.
But
Saudi also started on the 11th.
11th is Tuesday also, is it?
Monday. Yeah.
I think when I was in Vienna also, so the Muslim Association there kind of like took a lot of lead from the Saudi authority.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they have a smaller community, I guess. But anyway, I think for me, the biggest struggle has always been sleep. Every year, sleep has been one of the biggest, one of the biggest challenges during Ramadan. Because we are at least sleeping later at night and waking up really early in the morning. But
correct,
other than that, I think, alhamdulillah, I'm blessed to see another Ramadan once again. I think it's a blessing. Yeah.
Yep. For me, I think it's the, what I'm missing out right now is the communal aspect of
fasting.
Yeah, because like
family, bro.
Family, like I always have my family to iftar together. Iftar, if you guys don't know, is just the act of breaking your fast together once the sun set. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like you always have it with your family. Sometimes you arrange some iftars with your friends. That communal aspect is gone for me. Like for me, it's just like a normal dinner. Like when you break fast, it's just like, oh, I'm just cooking my normal dinner, you know.
Yeah. But what time is breakfast there?
Yeah, so it actually starts out like similar to Singapore timing. Like you start about 5:30, 5:40, and then after that, you breakfast at about 7. But towards the end of the month, it gets longer and longer. So it gets to a point where you have to breakfast at 8:30 p.m. Becomes closer.
Just a quick one, like when I was in on an exchange in Austria. I had one of the longest fasts ever. Like the breakfast was at 3:30 a.m. The breakfast was at 9:30 p.m. Right, so it was really, really bad. Like not say bad. Like it was really an experience. So I breakfast at 9:30. Then you do your maghrib. Then by the time you're at the mosque, we do our traweh. Then by the time you're there, traweh, like it's almost 12. So it's like 2 hours away from sahur. So it was a very, very packed evening. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I guess. Just FYI for non-Muslim listeners, right? Yes, we cannot drink while we fast. Cause my colleague Akhil asking me like he was shocked that we couldn't drink. Just FYI, and also we fast from 5:50. Yeah. We fast for today, right? We fast from 5:55 a.m. all the way to sunset, which is at 7:19 today. I think, yeah. So FYI, for those non-Muslim listeners.
For Muslim listeners, you can drink while you fast. For non-Muslim listeners, don't drink and drive,
Okay, let's start. It's too much of a too long of a tangent, but let's start the pod proper. But before that, don't forget to follow us on FPL Copy Talks on IG, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and X.
Yep, and if you're listening to this on Spotify, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and give us that 5-star rating.
Also, if you haven't, do join our Telegram group where we're running our FPL Prize League. I'm really looking forward to today's pod. And without further ado, grab your beverage of choice. This is episode 115. The Rising Sun. Let's get into it.
Let's go!
Boss, kopi o satu, boss.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks.
It's Freddie Youngberg again. Push out by Bartes. Wilson!
Right here.
I'm looking back on things I
right now.
Tall Grande Venti. In this segment, we put our purely biased opinionated ratings of this game week. Usually, the lowest will start first. So,
thank you.
Very rare that Big Anwar is last. But Anwar,
yeah,
the stage is yours.
So before today's game, I only had 70 points with Cole Palmer on the bench, hauling 13 points. I think that was a big mistake, like, putting him on the bench. I thought against Newcastle, Chelsea would not have returned, but he was the bright spark in that Chelsea team, and bad decision on my part. Other than that, Liverpool drew with City, putting Arsenal on top on goal difference. So it's a very interesting. It's a very interesting lead up to the final few games, and I think not happy, but I thought the Liverpool game, I mean, if you watched it, I thought we didn't convert a lot of the chances that we could have gotten. Like, a lot of passes were not, a lot of passes should have been shots, etc. And the penalty shots at the end, I guess it was just, just very disappointing. This is a very disappointing week all around. I think after today's game, Luton versus Bournemouth, right? Okay, pretty decent, 36 points. So at least got a couple of points from, I mean, Solanke is everyone's pick, right? But I got Ross Barkley in as well. So Ross Barkley at 7 points. So that's a bit of a differential for me. Hopefully I catch up in terms of
margin. You got
40
points. Sorry, you got 40 points, bro.
Yeah, 40 points. I will see the... Yeah, 40 points. So...
transfers.
Still red arrows all around. I got in Ross Barkley for Luis Diaz. And who else did I bring in?
Barkley for
Neto. Bowen. Yeah, Bowen for Neto.
Bowen for Neto, yeah.
Yeah, so Bowen transfer was a week in advance. I thought they had a pretty decent game this week. So I brought him in ahead of next week. Anyway,
looking forward to hear your non-free hit plans later.
Yeah, let's talk about that in the second part. So if you're listening to this, stay tuned to the second part. Anyway, back to that, I think overall it's been a meh week for me. Before today with the 17 points with the Liverpool game, I finally understand what you mean by for a bad game week, you don't feel like coming onto the pod. And today was one of those weeks. And I guess I'll give myself a 2 out of 10 week.
Wow. I lost all the decimal places there. Straight up 2.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah. Okay, quick question. Couple of quick questions. Who would you have played ahead of Palmer?
Who I would have played? I put in Bowen. Okay, I put in...
Like, if you were to play Palmer, like, who would you have benched?
No, so I was really contemplating benching Foden.
Okay.
Right, but then like I had Bowen, Barkley. Barkley had to play because he was a double game week. Saka had
Burnley,
a
right?
Bowen was there. Burnley. So yeah. I was contemplating Foden or Palmer. Yeah. And like somehow, even though I support Liverpool, and I know that Foden doesn't.
Surprised he's so Lucho.
Big team, sir. Yeah. Foden. He's lucky lah. His finishing has been a missile, man. He has if you watch the dribbling, like, yes, like, you know, if you allocate points to your skill set, right? He allocated 99% of it to dribbling, and only 1% to finishing. So.
His dribbling was like Neymar, but he's finishing like Wilson Palacios.
No.
If you remember him.
I'm going to say Lukaku, but I think Palacios is a better call.
Palacios, bro. Like, Palacios is actually a good dribbler, so like similar, but he's finishing. Yeah. But anyway, let's move on to my team. I just made one. Yeah, so I go first.
Oh, wow. As in, I'm surprised I'm talking.
Okay, so my transfer was Bell to Zabarni. Zabarni saved my game week because Palmer killed me after the game. Because I don't own Palmer. But yeah, Zabarni, legend. His goal, 8 points. So, Green Arrow, my safety was 52 points. I got 59. So, Green Arrow from 760 to 670. So, Captain Solanke, my team is Areola, Zabarni, Estupinian, Clinchit, Gusto, Saka, Gordon, Foden, Son, Captain Solanke, Haaland, and Watt. Canes. So
we have Sun. How many points here?
Yeah.
Total?
59. I sold Salah for Sun, if you guys remember. I had to sell Salah. So it was a blessing in disguise. Because he also returned the week before. My ratings, because Liverpool, I felt like we dropped points. So I think it was it was just a 6, maybe 6 over 10. A grande week, in the middle of the pack. Okay. ABK, how was the game week?
I think a really good game week for me. I'll just give my rating first, 9 out of 10. Arsenal's back on top of the
league. That's high.
Arsenal's back on top of the league. I have a green arrow. Although it's not a huge green arrow, it's 1.4 million to about 1.1, close to 1.2 million. But after a string of red arrows, the green arrow really feels good this week. And especially because like I think the green arrow is after today's game. Before this, I think I had a red arrow. But after the Bournemouth played the last game, because I tripled up on Bournemouth, I managed to get a green arrow. Yeah, so my transfers were to bring in Zabani. I actually took out Trippier for Zabani. I saw that Pedro Porro was kind of coming back from injury, so I hold off the Porro transfer. I transferred out Trippier because I think he was out injured for longer. Yeah, injured out for longer. So I brought in Zabani for the double, and then Solanke for Tony was a straightforward move for me. Yeah, and Tony did not punish me because he did not score against Arsenal also. So, really good game for me. Arsenal won in a tight game against Brentford. And then Liverpool and Man City dropped points. And then also the fact that Arsenal got through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. It was really good game for me. Let me just run through my team. I have Neto in goal. Defense, Bradley, Gabriel, Zabani. My midfielders are Gordon, Palmer, Garnacho, Saka and De Bruyne, and up front I have Haaland and Solanke as my captain. I think maybe the only small blip in my game week is that I have Pedro Porro with 7 points in my bench. I mean, can't complain. Green arrow.
Yeah, why do you sell Trippier instead of Bradley or Ake? And you could have played Porro to it.
No, yeah,
he was pass fit.
Because the thing is, like, I didn't want to risk it. I didn't know Porro was I didn't know whether Porro was gonna start. This was basically his first game back. Right, Trippier was out. So if I were to take Bradley or Ake out, right, I would not leave any space for my bench. You know, if let's say Ake doesn't start, is that I sell Bradley for Zabani. If Ake doesn't start, then I got no one in the bench to bring on.
Okay,
so
that's
the reason
sense.
Why
makes
I,
sense.
I didn't. Go. I didn't sell Bradley, but I think Bradley would be one of the I don't know.
I think Gordon will be out long term. I have a feeling.
Yeah.
We have to sell Gordon. So anyway, Gordon, let's move on. Let's move on to Brew of the Week. In this segment, we discuss players or teams that have exceeded our FPL expectations. So let's start with Sun. 17 points. If you watch the game, right, he was very periphery. But like towards the end, he just like killed the non-owners. So. 1 goal, 2 assists, very clinical. So since returning from the Asian Cup, he had 5 attacking returns in 4 matches. So he's actually up 3rd in the midfielder standings, the point standings. So Sunny boy, man, who doesn't own Sun? I know, right?
Yeah,
let's start with you, man. What do you think of Sun, man?
Academy Sim, man. He was one of my key players prior to the Asian Cup. I didn't have the opportunity to bring him back in. Always had other fires to fight.
If you all don't follow the pod, Anwar's team was kind of like really a diverse team. Like if it's a company, it would really be a very good diverse company. Because like he had lots of African players and lots of Asian players. He really believed in the diversity in his team. But
it was inclusion and diversity. So I really 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 miss him, lah. I mean, like. Solid returns. We could see his impact on this Spurs team. He's like the shiny Mercedes in the old town. So, I don't know. I just feel that next week will be an opportunity to bring him back in, finally. And then we'll see if I can fit him into my team moving forward. But he's definitely one on the top of the list.
Okay, my question to you now team. Is Son or Saka?
Son.
Okay.
I'm the other way around, I think. slightly.
Yeah,
I'm a bit biased, so I can't answer the question. But I want to know, Sun right now, when once he's back in the Asian Cup, is he playing up front or is he playing?
He's playing up front.
Richarlison is injured.
But my only concern with Sun is that I might not be able to afford him and Salah in the team because he's at 9.9 million now. He's really quite a premium.
Same for me. I think game week 31 will be, I have to sell Sun to get Salah. And game week 30, he's home to Luton, right? He's my captaincy. That's why I'm not buying Salah in 30 because I think Sun captain and then 31, I have to sell Sun. That's my only route to Salah. So I think I'm going to do that.
I think the key to this move is a cheap defense. Like you cannot.
What do you mean? Like you keep Sun and Salah.
As in to have like all these cheap players in your team, you really need a cheap defense. You cannot be having like Trippier or Alexander Arnold or even Van Dijk in your team. At most, Gabriel. At most. Some 5.5 midfielder, and maybe like only you can only afford one of it. The rest all like you gotta go like cheap, like 5.0 kind of. 4.5 range.
I think your Regions and your Doughties and your this class of defenders.
Bradley. Ibike, what's your route to Salah? Do you have any idea?
De Bruyne for sure, easy. Answer to your question.
So you can you can own Saka, Sun, Salah, and Haaland.
De Bruyne of the new hair. It's not doing.
Okay, yeah. You also know you don't have Sun, Ibike. So you're not thinking of getting Sun in.
I think I have to play around my team to see the funds, but I think like that I'm definitely Saka over Sun, but if I can upgrade Gordon to I'm definitely Saka over Sun. But if I can, and I'm gonna upgrade De Bruyne to Salah, and Watkins will be my team also. But if I can upgrade somehow Gordon also to Sun, that would be amazing. But that will require some.
Defense. So to understand correctly, Salah is your priority amongst all the transfer.
Okay, yeah. Salah or Sun? ABK. Salah or Sun? Salah is back for 30.
For sure, Salah.
Okay, so for you listeners out there, right? At the start of this season, we had a simple experiment. ABK went without Salah and saying that he's gonna captain Haaland. He doesn't want that captaincy conundrum.
Oh yeah.
He go without Good Salah memory. And he spread out his chips, but. Now moving on into the second of the season, essential Salah is to FPL teams.
I admit that I was in the wrong. As you can see from my ranking.
We can't blame you as well because always at the first half of the season or the start of the season, you don't know where the ball is going
to land.
Correct.
Find your way around.
Correct. But that being said, Salah came on against City.
Before we talk about the City game, maybe we talk about Spurs. Is there any other assets we want to talk about, or you want to just move on to Liverpool? City?
I don't know. Okay, Meadow caught the eye, especially in the second half against Villa.
He did.
But first half he was a bit. The game opened up with the red card especially, and then Poro didn't look good. But he still managed two key passes. And then Udogi is the other guy who... He was super advanced. If you look at his average position, he was basically playing left forward. Johnson was very wide. So, those are the assets that for free hit we are looking for. So, I think only Meadow, Sun, Udogi and Poro will be my only options. I wouldn't go for the, those Warners, Kulu and Johnson.
I kind of
He might not start.
Yeah, that's the thing. True. Because it's a 1 week kind of pun, right? If we hit, you don't have to keep the guy for so long. I kind of want to play around with Johnson in my team.
Tough, because Werner might start. I think Werner will start.
I think the sensible pick is to go with Madison instead of Madison.
But my only issue with Udogi and Poro in this inverted role is that they don't really return with their regular assists or goals. I just feel
that. Poro stopped taking corners, by the way.
Yeah.
I think Meadow is taking over all the corners. He didn't take any corner in the last game. So, that's one of the factors. But Poro still. He didn't look good in the last game, but I still think Poro in the free hit, you have to have him. Just for the. Because there's no other defenders also. We'll talk about it later for free hit. Shall we move on? Next, Brew. Who is
that? With Havertz. Kai Havertz.
We've been brewing him for the past few episodes.
He's caught in four consecutive games.
Essential asset. Yeah, no, like,
yes,
like for me, like he's so good. Like I think my the bone to pick I have with Havertz is the same that you have with Lucho in Liverpool. I think just his finishing is just horrendous. Like that, not only the finishing, you know, like that you know, like that touch you have at the end, the last touch you need to finish. I think he needs to really improve on that. But other than that, his overall game is really something. Like watching the Porto game, he's just running his socks off. I mean, together with Odegaard was the main man for the Porto game. But Havertz is the guy that he just presses the whole game. He just is a menace to defend against. Like he's always winning all the headers. He's big. He's strong. He doesn't run away from duels. He's always taking the duels head on. And I think it's very difficult to play against him. Yeah, and I really like how he is in the team. And I feel the way forward for Arsenal right now is with Havertz up front in the 9 row. And I think Arteta also thinks that. Like he's been benching Jesus. He's been playing Havertz consistently up front. So
yeah,
it's an OOP pick if you want Havertz in your team. But I'm not sure how you're going to fit him in your team.
Everyone with like
Palmer, but Saka, Son, Salah.
Just a quick one on Havertz, right? So it's quite interesting. I saw this analysis on a player like Havertz. And then, like, we all kind of agree that the number 10 role is kind of dead in the Premier League right now. We don't have a pure cam. Even Odegaard doesn't play in a pure central attacking midfielder role. And this article was very interesting. They categorized Havertz, Julian Alvarez, and Gakpo as a very unique 8.5. That means a false 8. That means somewhere between a false 9 and a midfielder.
Mm.
Okay? So a very advanced midfielder.
From where you read
I
that?
I forgot where I read it from, but it was one of the new role. So we had the false 9, which is like number 9. So basically Havertz is playing as a number 9 now. But I think Arteta brought him in to play the 8.5 role. So basically what the 8.5 role is, right, is that in attack, right, they form up to become the number 9 behind the striker, because you have your midfielders inverting. So you become a 3-5-2 setup. Right. By the same time, then the 8.5 can drop back as a number 8. Yeah. So I don't know. Just a fun fact for you guys.
So
it's a interesting concept.
I agree.
But it's apparently something new. And then you have the same with Alvarez as well. Alvarez doesn't really play up front. He doesn't really play in midfield. He's somewhere in between. And Gakpo has been experimented in that position as well in midfield. So just a possible new tactical position.
Okay. Let's go to FPL straight. So, wildcard 30, right? Those wildcarding, right? I don't think I'll go with the third Arsenal. I think Saka and Gabriel, or you want Ben White or whoever, Saliba or whoever. I think two I'll go, because they play Man City in 30, right? I don't think I'll triple out. That's how I see it. Do you agree? Wildcard 30. I know you might wildcard in 30. I don't know whether you have talked about your draft yet. You probably won't go with three Arsenal,
when
right?
When you're wildcarding, you don't only think about one game week. Right? You have to think about that.
Yeah, that's true. But I still think that he wouldn't be in it. I know they play Luton in 31 actually. But I wouldn't go triple.
Which is why I probably won't. I'm still considering not wildcarding in 30, like holding off the wildcard to 31, depending on how the
31
ships up.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have
31 maybe. I think there's too many midfielders to get Havertz in the team. I think I haven't made a draft yet.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be too much.
Yeah. Too much.
Odegaard also included. So double Arsenal will be probably the way to go, and they will be highly owned also.
Yeah, I feel like way to go for triple Arsenal is the defense. Like if you want, you go with a double Arsenal defense instead of a double midfield, because I think midfield is too packed right now with all the options available.
But I wouldn't go double defense.
Arsenal defenders
also
is the
lack of track.
They don't have much attacking returns. Apart from Gabriel in the corners, but other than that,
Saliba also scores corners sometimes.
Yeah, so you see it spreads out amongst two players. Anyway, I just want to have a quick question. Why Ryan wasn't even on the bench in that game, right? But
he's
started
on loan to Brentford.
You're talking about which game?
Because of the
loan, bro. He's ineligible to play.
It's a loan with obligation to buy in the end. Like, because I think they just want to do some
financial chicanery, bro.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason, ah.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not dropped, like, he was not dropped. Yeah. Okay. Hero, bro. He's a hero, bro. Champions League hero.
Do you know that he has this tattoo? Raya has this tattoo at the back of his neck. Right.
The Champions League trophy?
No. Raya has a tattoo of the first ever Premier League game he played in his life, and the game was against Arsenal. They won the game.
Okay. Really, let's move on. Yeah. Rose, we rose now. Yeah. Rose of the week. In this segment, we discuss players that could have done much better this game week. I wanted to roast Solanke, but I guess he didn't deserve the roast because he got 8 points in the end in this double game week. I want to roast Jarrod Bowen. So he failed to score in 9 of the last 10 game weeks. So in that one game, he scored a hat-trick, but still 8 blanks in the last 10. So I see a lot of free hit draft with Bowen in it. I don't think he should be that nil in free hit draft. Yeah. So yeah, that's my roast. I think Bowen, I mean, 9 in the last 10 games not to score. And he played every single minute up front, mostly. So yeah, I think my rules will be Bowen. He doesn't. I mean, I test wise, he's okay lah. He's, you know, doing all the hard work, making all the runs. But his finishing is still not there.
I think we agreed that in most of those games, Paqueta wasn't around, right? Yeah. And the hat trick was when Paqueta came back. This was the second game after Paqueta came back.
He also got an assist in the last game.
No. The two games ago, he got an assist. A lucky assist in the end, like 90th minute. In the last game, I watched the game. What game was it? Against Burnley. So you expect more against Burnley, right? But actually, he only had 2 or 3 shots ago. So yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say his name on the free.
Paqueta effect is real.
It's real, yeah. But I don't know. He's a good player. Man City about him. Paqueta.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just looking at this. Moyes is a decent manager. West Ham was a team in form. He got in Calvin Phillips. Calvin Phillips has been not playing the best. I don't know why he's sticking to him, man. Even after the injury. Even after the red card. So, just the whole shape, lah. So, West Ham is not a formidable team as we saw, lah. So, I mean, for the free hit, I still see Bowen as a decent attacking option, because you don't have that many options to begin with for the free hit week, lah. And then from West Ham alone, I think not everyone is firing on all cylinders. So, yeah, I think Bowen is a decent pick still for a free hit.
Yeah, Paqueta and Kudus.
Kudus hasn't been retaining much as well. He doesn't look the same post African Cup. Not sure what happened there. But Paqueta is a decent call as well. Yeah, Paqueta, right, I think it's a very attacking midfielder in the heart of the action. So an assist or goal is potential there. But they're playing Aston Villa. So it's really
tough game at home, even though it's at home. I think both teams will be playing their Europe game this week, so both will be equally tired. If you watch the Burnley game, they were poor. I mean, they were down 2-0 to Burnley at home. Then they came back. I don't know, man. But anyway, anyone else to roast?
Yeah, not many teams to roast this week. Luton.
You guys want to talk about your Liverpool City game? Your thoughts about
it? No, just saying.
Quick one.
Like you were talking about Salah assets, right? Yep. Like Salah came on against...
he looked fantastic. Like when he came on...
Salah assets.
You thought he looked fantastic?
Wrong.
I thought he was really blunt, man. Like way down.
Really? Like he played that superb ball to Luis Diaz, no?
Yeah,
but
he did.
I think Luis Diaz made it look good. But I mean, he had a couple of misplaced chances, passes as well. So, I don't know, he wasn't as sharp as the... I won't say that he played badly. He had a decent game, considering he's coming off injured.
He's a high standards.
Very high standards. The performance didn't tickle me enough to say I want to get him in ASAP. Unlike the previous time when he came on... Which game?
Brentford, bro.
He got injured.
Brentford game, came
he
came on,
he looked really, really, really good. And then he didn't have that same impact. So I don't know. Maybe it's just City as an opponent. Maybe have really high standards for him. But I was hoping that he could impact the game a little bit more than he had.
I felt he did impact the game. I felt like the tides a bit changed a bit. I wouldn't say like a lot. But
The home crowd. I think it's more of the home crowd rallying the team more than he's coming in. I don't know. Okay. It didn't.
I'm somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
I'm somewhere in the middle. I think he had okay only. I think it's the high standards. I think we expect him to just change the game, but it's difficult to just change the game. He did play one great pass, but yeah, other than that, he didn't do much, but it's still okay. I think game week 30, if he's fit, right, if he plays against Man U this weekend, the FA Cup, and he scores like one or assists one, I think game week 30 will be scary to go without him. Home to Brighton. I think that will be scary. If you look at how Brighton have been playing lately, I think he will be scary not to go
with. For me, you know who was the man of the match? No? I don't know whether you guys agree or not.
Joe Gomez.
Ooh. For me, I think it was Endo.
Endo was the actual man of the match, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, FPL, I said, don't know. Right? Like,
I mean, it's not FPL, I said, like, but, I mean, like, he was running the show quietly.
I don't know how.
Rodri didn't have much impact in the game, to me. Like, Rodri was kind of, like, missing. But Endo controlled, Endo
De Bruyne
was really
pocketed.
Controlling
the rhythm of the game,
But
I don't understand how
inspiring. No, I don't know. I just find Endo very inspiring. Like it's a fairy tale story. An Asian.
How is he so good?
Coming to the Premier League.
I'm quite sure that he's that good.
It's a lot of grit and determination. I mean, it's also got to be. It's also a lot of got to give him credit for reading of the game. I think his positioning, his timing of the tackle that he wants to make. I don't know. It's
the grit.
It could possibly be just
it could
the
be form,
grid, the mentality.
I don't know how we got lucky. I mean, he wasn't first choice, right? And then for him to be performing like...
Even, I think it wasn't even third choice. Like, you guys had Caicedo, Lavia.
Oh, yeah.
You got the people like that Chelsea stole.
We got lucky in a way. But for him to be playing like prime Fabinho is quite lucky and crazy and unbelievable to see. But yeah, it is what... Let's move on. Shall we?
I think just one last person. But this all should be Bru.
Rosa.
No.
Bru.
I think Kwanzaa did a fantastic job against Haaland.
I was just gonna say like City had almost a full team there, and we had like Bradley, Kwanzaa, Komin Kelleher, in defense, and then up front we didn't know had Salah. It was Darwin, Harvey Elliott. I thought we had our ground, but still, I still, if we were to push on with the title challenge and maybe end up winning it, which I think is going to be quite a challenge right now, I think it's going to be a different, it's going to be different. I'm going to hit different because of the way it is right now. One thing is, I don't know, it's the same Klopp story. We always sit with injuries, it's always... It's a common story. It's a common theme. So it's probably the setup. It's probably the intensity of the game that they play. It just comes down to this.
Shall we talk about the? Okay, I want to ask Anwar. So the Man City and Arsenal game, right? I know we want to draw, but if the, let's say a team has to win, right, who would you rather win?
I think City will win it.
No. As in, who you want to win?
City.
If there was, so you rather City? So you're saying Arsenal more is a threat than City?
I would say Arsenal is more of a threat than City right now because Arsenal is on a fine run of form. So a loss to City would really rattle them. They're not mentality monsters, you have to remember that. City has not really gotten into a rhythm yet, right? So
which is scary.
Arsenal could potentially push them forward, but they still got a couple of decent games to play, and I think if you were to ask me to choose one, right, if Arsenal were to win City, then that would really boost their confidence and then they would go and steamroll all the way. But if City were to beat Arsenal, then it's just the start. It still could go either way. So I would rather City.
I think I disagree. I think I will bet Arsenal more in a title running than City. I want City to be out of the picture. And then I'll bet against Arsenal. So I'd rather Arsenal win, and then Man City is kind of out of the picture. I think they don't have experience, right? So I would rather go against Arsenal, even though Man City is off form compared to Arsenal. I'd rather...
As an Arsenal agree? Fan, right now, I'm feeling like... I'm feeling like, come what me, give us whoever, man. Like, draw us whoever in the Champions League. Like play City next, whatever. We're gonna
gonna win it all.
We're gonna take it on, you know, like as a team. Yeah.
From London down to Paris.
Okay. I want to roast one more thing. I want to roast the Man United and Everton game. I think that is the 90 minutes I cannot get back in my life. I wasted 2 hours watching the worst game of football this season, I feel. Like after the two penalties, right, the whole game, they just, it was, oh my God, I can't believe I watched it. Because that was the only game on, right? And I was free and I was alone because my family was somewhere, right? So I had the time to watch, but I really wasted my time. So
I was watching the game with my dad and brothers. So my dad and brother is a United fan, right? And I was watching the game and they were like, damn happy. I was like, what are you guys happy about? Gana, please. To get a penalty, the way he dribbles the ball, right? He's just looking to get contact. That was my point, lah. That was my point of contention. He wasn't looking to get himself into a good position to shoot. He was just looking to go to the most crowded area of the penalty box and hope to get something out of that.
Okay, let's not talk too much about a game that don't deserve to be talked about. So let's move on to part two. But before that, don't forget to follow us on all our socials. If you guys haven't, links embedded on our episode description.
Yep. We appreciate all your support and do give us any feedback if you have any on the Telegram group.
We will be back for part two. We're FBL Copy Talks, signing out.
Sorry.
You're listening to FBL Copy Talks. Right here. Right now.